It's 8:01. This is KBNF Regional News for Wednesday, April 1st. I'm Patricia Naft. The police chief for the town of Palisade has been put on paid administrative leave, but the town officials are refusing to disclose why. Chief Tony Erickson was hired a little over 2 years ago. In an interview with the Daily Sentinel, Erickson also declined to describe the situation. There have been two bills in the state capitol that sought to raise the minimum wage, but now there's only one. A bill that would have raised the state's minimum wage from the current $8.23 an hour to $12.50 by the year 2020 was defeated in the House during its final reading. However, a similar bill has cleared the Democratic-controlled House. It would give local governments, like towns and counties, the ability to set their own minimum wage. It's unclear, though, if it will pass the Republican Senate. More than $34 million in grants from the state will go to local communities for public improvement projects. KBNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
40 communities across the state receive grants from the Colorado Department of Local Affairs. The funds are for capital improvement projects. Hotchkiss got $1.1 million to upgrade the town's sewer system. Dubuque received $2 million to help build a new fire station. The state awarded Mesa County $1 million for road construction and structure improvements. The Montrose Recreation District got $1.9 million to expand its community recreation center. And Cedar Edge received nearly $2 million. Kathleen Sickles is the town's administrator.
That money will be used for our wastewater treatment facility. We are constructing a new wastewater treatment facility and will decommission our sewer lagoons. It's a $4 million project.
Funding for the grants comes from the state severance tax on energy and mineral production, and from royalties on minerals extracted on federal lands in Colorado. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
With record wet and cold in the east and record dry and hot in the west, some meteorologists are scratching their heads. But for some IC change observers, the changes they've seen feel kind of familiar. Laura Krantz has the story.
It's been a warm, dry winter in Hotchkiss, Colorado, with little snowpack and temperatures about 15 degrees hotter than usual. For Doug Fritz, the chief of the fire district in this west-central part of the state, it feels like deja vu. He saw similar conditions in 2012, during one of Colorado's most active fire seasons. Now, 3 years later, he's thinking hard about the upcoming fire season, after another early fire. This one on February 7th. It was so early, it caught him off guard.
It just kind of surprised us by the timing. In some respects, our gear is still kind of winterized, and we had a whole bunch of little things that we had to put together to switch into the wildfire season. It was a little bit sooner than we expected.
It was a small grass fire, only about an acre and three quarters. The Hotchkiss Fire District had no trouble putting it out. But Fritz wondered about the timing.
Typically, that land is under snow, and it would be too moist to burn. That probably seems like the schedule for burning is maybe a month or so ahead of schedule.
He's not the only one watching this warm, dry trend in northwest and west central Colorado.
Temperatures along and east of the divide have been near the average so far this winter. However, once you get west of the divide, especially northwest Colorado, temperatures have been running above average for the last several months in that area.
Tim Mathewson is a fire meteorologist for the Rocky Mountain Coordination Center just outside of Denver. Part of his job is to make predictions about wildfires, figuring out what risks they pose and where to move resources to fight them. Most of those predictions are short-term, looking ahead about 5 to 7 days. The center also does longer, seasonal predictions up to 4 months out. But those predictions are a little harder to make, so they look to the past to get an idea of what's coming.
If you go back to 2012, March was very dry and warm. In fact, one of the driest and warmest on records across Colorado. And what we know about our very active fire seasons is that they typically start early.
But, he says, it's still a little too early to know if this fire season is one to worry about. Spring is a critical time for the state, and that's especially true for the area around Hotchkiss. If the state gets plenty of precipitation between now and May, Mathewson doesn't expect to worry.
March, April, May typically are wet months. This period can determine really the outcome of our fire season.
Doug Fritz, the Hotchkiss fire chief, also isn't too concerned yet. But if fires like this February grass fire keep cropping up in March and April,
that's going to be a bigger indication of what we're going to look like in June and July. And typically our biggest fires have been in the first week in July.
He's right. A fire in February, a fire in March does not typically indicate a busy or busier than average fire season across Colorado. If West Central, Northwest Colorado continue on their dry path, then I would say, yeah, they should be planning for a very busy fire season in that part of the state.
But even if Hotchkiss gets plenty of spring rain, Doug Fritz knows it only takes one wildfire to make a bad season.
If the wildfire happens to you in your town, in your community, you had a bad wildfire year. So the wildfire risk is always right there on your doorstep.
Fritz and his fire district spend about 50 to 60% of their time preparing for wildfire, and that February grass fire could just be an early warm-up. For IC Change in Boulder, Colorado, I'm Laura Krantz.
You can see video of the Hotchkiss Fire Department responding to that February grass fire and hear the 2012 interview with Doug Fritz at icchange.org. And if you've seen changes this season or have questions, share your stories there too. And finally, Colorado lawmakers want to see whether the state's getting its money's worth from nearly 200 tax breaks designed to create jobs and help the economy. As Benta Berkland reports, if a measure to study the issue passes, it would be the first time for this type of examination.
In current state law, Colorado provides 186 tax breaks, everything from vending machine food to dairy equipment, affordable housing, livestock feed, and fuel for light, heat, and power.
I think it's worth taking a look periodically to make sure we are being responsible to the taxpayers with their tax money to say, where is this money being spent? And are we getting a good return on that investment?
That's Democratic Representative Casey Becker of Boulder, one of the main sponsors of House Bill 1205. She says there's never been a review of all the tax breaks in law, some of them dating back to the 1930s.
I sit on the Finance Committee, and last year we saw dozens of bills that were for new or renewing tax breaks. And I realized that we didn't really have a systematic way to review them. And it adds up to almost $5 billion annually in tax breaks.
While no business groups outright oppose the measure, several remain neutral. Republican Representative Lori Sane of Firestone is another backer of the bill. She says no one wants their tax breaks taken away.
I think some groups were a little nervous at first, but we did assure them we're not going after a certain project by any means.
And Sane says it could end up benefiting certain industries.
We would like to not only extend those programs, but maybe even put more of our focus and energy and resources towards things that are working for Coloradans.
Sane says some tax breaks should be removed from the books if they're no longer necessary. The state auditor would review all the tax expenditures, and a bipartisan committee of mostly lawmakers would report back to the legislature and offer recommendations. The committee would be ongoing and would cost about $600,000 each year. There would be some exemptions from the review, such as groceries. The measure cleared its first committee unanimously and now awaits a hearing in the House Appropriations Committee. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Stay tuned for Jeff and the Wednesday Morning Music Mix. Thank you for your support during our spring pledge drive. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.